Okay, continue.
Yeah, so what, I mean, to give you an illustration, one time there was a crisis because they one of their endowed chair professors took his check to the bank and it bounced.
Mm-hmm.
They were in really bad shape. And at that point, I realized it's going to be a while, and I'm not going to do it. And so I pulled out after a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. What about South Africa?
Okay, I'd still been working with doing stuff with the Quakers all these years. And I had gone to Southern Africa for the Quakers back around 77. We had toured the frontline nations for a month, fact-finding tour. This was in the aftermath of Soweto, and we had gone to refugee camps and the like. Anyway, so I had some experience. I was still doing stuff around Southern Africa, and there was this opportunity for a month-long trip to South Africa, and they wanted me to be a part of a six-person team. And I wanted to do it, and I asked Richard, and Richard was right on it. He said, yeah, do it, and I'll get a graduate student to teach your course. Mm-hmm. And you got some other people to teach my courses. And so I was gone for a month. we toured the whole country. At some point, we split up into two teams of three and then met again in the southern part down in Cape Town. But this was a time before the elections, and it was over 1,000 people were killed the month we were there. When we split up into two teams, one of our teams were actually witnesses for one murder. The team that I was on, the three people, we were there in the aftermath of killings, where we would go the next day after there was a bombing. When we were in Cape Town, we interviewed a community leader who had just been shot at a stoplight. And the way the Quakers work these things is that afterwards you write your report. Actually, you send reports back even while you're there. When you come back, you write your report. And then they have you come to D.C. They have an office in D.C. They're a lobby organization. Mm-hmm. And arrange for us to talk to congresspeople's committees and whatnot. And then we have a news conference, and then we talk to people. They arrange all that. And then we do the same in New York because they have NGO status at the UN. And they have an office in New York right near the UN. Mm-hmm. And so we did a news conference there and then talk about our report.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to talk to other NGOs and people at the UN. So we talked to other NGOs, people at the UN, and government officials, people who were affiliated with the administration at the time. And what that did was, you know, of course, the last part of that is usually a nationwide tour. Mm-hmm. And we usually bring someone, and they did, brought a couple people back from South Africa to tour with members of our group. And I couldn't do that, of course. Mm-hmm. But we had people who went all around the country and gave their report. And, I mean, really, it didn't have a direct influence on any of the specific courses that I was teaching. But, of course, it kept me updated on the ways that lobbyists work. You know, I could give some of that information to my reporting classes. I mean, because here I was working, really, for a lobby organization. Mm-hmm. And another organization that had NGO status, which basically is a lobby organization for the UN. And so it just gave me some more real-world experience. And it also, even though we were writing reports, I wasn't acting as a reporter. Actually, my reports that came back were written like news stories. I mean, when I was sending stuff back to Philly, I was sending them back as news stories. And some of those got picked up by various places. So it just kept me fine-tuned a little bit, if you will, to the whole business of communication. And so that was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.